Okay? What, am I more likely to go to a high school concert? To a university concert? To hear the Boston Symphony? To hear the New York Philharmonic? Because, you know, I'm a musician. I'm a violinist. Okay, so which one do you think I'd choose? Hello? I'm going to go see the New York Philharmonic. Okay? The point of this is, it's not unheard of. In fact, it's common that we don't recognize and we don't honor people that are in our midst. They're just Pastor Mary. They're just so-and-so, right? We get to hear her all the time, you know? And suppose I told you, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this. I invite people to do this, and I'm going to be so successful, and I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to raise the dead. And you go, who does she think she is? Huh? You know, it's very, very common that if somebody in our midst, and I lived this when I was called to be a pastor, because I was a pew warmer 10 years prior to that in the same church. Okay, I was a mouse. I know you don't believe me, but I was a mouse. I said nothing. I couldn't get out. Me at a village square, never. Never. Could not get out the church fast enough because I was scared to death somebody would speak to me. That's who I was. And then God started using His power in me, and it started evolving. It started evolving, and suddenly somebody says to me, it happened to me, my pastor, you're called to be a pastor. What? What? And it was hard for some people in my congregation because it's like, wait, this is just Mary. How can she be Reverend Mary? There are a lot of people that rejoiced. Don't get me wrong. It was wonderful. But there were people that were just like, this doesn't make any sense. And then when I became lead pastor years later of the same church, it's like, what's up with that? We remember when she was nothing. Right? This is what happens to Jesus. So all around, the word is spreading. Spreading, spreading, spreading. How wonderful He is. The miracles He can do. He can walk on water. He can calm the storms. But He comes home and they're like, who does He think He is? This is Mary's son. Mary was nothing. You know, she was probably, well, she was a carpenter's wife. Joseph was a carpenter. That's a blue-collar job. Okay. So, Mary's son. Not educated, not a rabbi's protege. Jesus was a carpenter. Do you know what a carpenter did in those days? What do you think it means? Okay, because this was something that was interesting to me when I researched this. What did a carpenter do in Jesus' day? What do you think? Don't worry about a wrong answer. Anything you say is likely to be right, but it's likely to be a partial answer. Build tents? Build furniture? What else, Betty? So wood bowls. Wooden bowls. Wooden bowls, okay.
Make tools.
Okay, well, here's the thing. He was probably what was called a woodworking handyman. Okay, so Ken, why did I look at you? What does it say on your truck?
Yeah, rent a handyman.
Rent a handyman. So you're in good company. You're in very good company. He would have crafted plows, made yokes for oxen, not egg yokes, yokes for oxen to pull, furniture, cupboards, maybe built small buildings, made beams, window lattices, things like that. He was a blue-collar worker. He was technically skilled. And think about this for a minute. I want you to picture in your mind right now. Close your eyes for just a sec. Picture what Jesus looks like. Picture those pictures you've seen of Jesus. In your mind, does He look physically strong? Open your eyes. Think about it. He's a builder. He wouldn't have been that sweet, flowing, skinny arm. His hands would have been rough from all that work. He would have had muscles. Wow, that's a different picture. So this is the Jesus they're talking about. All of a sudden, he starts teaching, and this wisdom comes from him. And say, wait a minute. Wait, where did he get this? This doesn't make any sense. And they rejected him. They said, he's Mary's son. You may not realize that's a very unusual thing to say. That's an unusual thing to say. In his day, they would have said he's Joseph's son. Okay? They didn't. They said it's Mary's son. And a lot of scholars feel that that is because Joseph has passed away at this point. Okay, we always wonder what happened to Joseph, and we don't know for sure. But this is one of the places they point to and they say, yeah, he's probably not there. Otherwise, he would have been referred to as Joseph's son. The names of his brothers come from major Old Testament names, as well as there's some extra books of the Bible called 1st and 2nd Maccabees. I'm not going to get into that, but they're not scripture, but they're valuable for background. A couple of Jesus' brothers' names come from that source. We don't get to know his sister's name because, frankly, women didn't matter, except for Mary. Mary's son. Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? Interesting, they don't disagree with his teaching. They don't say he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's out of his mind. This is the wrong interpretation. Only the rabbi knows the right thing to say. That's not what is said here at all. They're not offended by the teaching. They're offended by the teacher. Because he's unqualified. And interestingly, his rejection by the people will soon become a rejection by all of those who crucify him. This is the first rejection by his hometown. But the mass rejection that we come to in a few weeks in our celebration of Lent, they all turn away. They all turn away. And Jesus can't do miracles there. Don't you find that interesting? He can't do miracles there. Some people say, well, that's because since the people didn't believe in him, they didn't bring people to him to be healed. Right? Because people brought him people. And they're like, that's just Jesus. I'm not bringing so-and-so. Who's he? Right? So that's part of it, perhaps. But it's tied very specifically to the faith of the people in Nazareth. You know, it's fun because there's a Nathanael, one of the 12 disciples, makes a statement when he's introduced to the idea of the Messiah coming from Nazareth. Do you remember what it says in Scripture, some of you? What does it say, Betty?
It says, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, apparently his hometown agrees. Right? Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Right? It's just a bunch of carpenters and blue-collar workers. Well, that's not the way God sees things. So, here they are, lacking belief, lacking vision, rejecting Jesus. And because of that, he can't do miracles. There's a lesson in that for us. There's a lesson in that for us. He's not someone who's like a machine, you know, where you buy a candy machine. You know, you put in your money, you get your candy. You put in your money, you get your pop. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that it is necessary to have faith in order for Jesus to decide to heal if it is his will. So, second part of this passage, Jesus sends out the 12. That's the title. So, up till now, because we've been going through Mark, it's all been about Jesus and what he's done and what he said. Mark makes a change here. Just like he did, remember I told you that with the parables, that was a change in teaching strategy? Well, now things change again. And he says, okay, it's time for you, my disciples, to get to work. Okay, now it's going to become a true apprenticeship. You're going to go out there and work. And then we're going to learn. We're going to prepare you for when I'm gone. And you are the ones doing the work. So what if I told you I wanted to take you on a mission trip? You ready? Shall we go? Some of you say, yeah. Yeah, sure, let's go. Okay? What questions would you have for me? Where are we going?
What are we gonna eat?
What are we gonna eat?
How long?
How long do I have to go? Or get to go?
Where will we live?
Where will we live?
How much is it
going to cost? What are we going to do there? Okay? That's it? That's all you need to know? So, let me read the passage. And this is what, if Jesus were talking to you and letting me do the words, because I'm making it a little more comfortable. Take nothing for the mission trip. Mission Covenant? Take nothing for the mission trip except a walking stick. That's all you get. Okay? Don't bring any food. Don't bring a suitcase. Don't bring any money. Wear sandals or boots, but don't bring a change of clothing. You're only going in the clothes you're in. There'll be no accommodations. Nothing set up for you. There's no hotel. There's no mission center. No accommodations. You must find somewhere to stay when you get there. You're going to have to knock on the door until somebody says, sure, you can stay with me. And the first house that invites you to stay is where you stay the whole trip, even if something better comes along. You're going to commit to this. And you're going to be preaching about repentance. You're going to be healing people. And you're going to be casting out demons while you're on this trip. People will see you completely in poverty because you've got nothing. You didn't bring a thing. You will be completely dependent on the goodwill of those people. And you will be completely focused on the mission rather than on your own needs and comfort. Ready to go? Ooh, I'm not seeing the nods I did a minute ago. So I did a mission trip. I mean, I've done several, but one that really sticks out in my mind, quite a few years ago, I went to Honduras. And it wasn't Honduras as in the main country of Honduras. It was an island off the coast of Honduras. And on that island lived the descendants of the slaves of the pirates of the Caribbean. Okay? Do you need me to say that again? The descendants of the slaves of the pirates of the Caribbean. That's who lived on that island. There were about 700 people. It was a very small island. There were no roads, no vehicles. There were a couple of bicycles that people had. Houses were made out of wood and metal that washed up on the shore. They were in total poverty, and they were the happiest people I ever met. They were amazing. They were amazing people. And when they started talking at my church about going on this trip, wasn't yet a pastor. I was in school to be a pastor, but I wasn't yet a pastor. We all had a meeting, people that were interested. And every question that you just asked, we asked. And we got answers. The mission was a really nice building. We each had our own bedrooms. You know, it sounded really pretty good. What were we going to eat? Well, they were going to provide us food. And they said it's pretty good cooking. You know, it's going to be real different food, and it was. We were going to have fresh water. We would have electricity during the day only because they had a kind of solar thing, and it would run out of power in the night. So you wouldn't have anything at night. It was warm, so you never needed heat or anything. So, you know what we really were worried about? And I was especially worried about this. Bugs. Bugs. This was tropical. And I'm like, now wait a minute. I've heard they have tarantulas down there. I don't like spiders. And they said, oh, well, yeah. I said, I've heard they're really big. Yeah, they are. I said, well, am I going to deal with them? I don't know. They're out and about. But Mary, you do need to know this. They're not like California tarantulas. You know, they're slow. If you've ever seen Arizona, New Mexico, those tarantulas, or even at a pet store, because that's what they have, they're slow spiders. No, these are the size of my hand. They were big, and they went fast. And so you'd go out in the field, put your foot down, surprise the spider, vroom, it would go. It was like, this was scary. I didn't sign up for that. There were snakes. There were pythons in the trees. You ready to go? No, not ready to go. Well, Jesus is saying in this passage, when you go out and you do missions, you do it focused on me. Just on me. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Easy for him to say. I was scared. I was scared, and God said, yeah, well, you say you'll die for me, but will you face the spiders? Yes, I will. Because I was too proud to say I wouldn't go because I was scared. It was an amazing experience. That was the closest I ever came to being totally dependent on him doing mission. And it wasn't even close to what Jesus told his disciples to do. To have the power that he gave them, the power to heal, the power to cast out demons, the power to preach. They needed to be 100% focused on him. Missionaries today, they raise support in their churches. They raise support in other churches. They don't ask for help from the people they go and minister to. It's a whole different way and a safer way. Following Jesus is risky if you do it the way he says. Oh, and the last thing he says, don't be worried about rejection. Do we like being rejected? Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. When somebody says, nah, I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to come to this thing that you're doing. It kind of can hurt. Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet. Love that. Stay focused. Stay focused on what he wants us to do and accomplish. Don't worry about it. He's got this. As we go forward as a church, and there are exciting times ahead. I am convinced of it. I see just amazing things happening. I'm going to have lunch with all the clergy in Orange week after next. Okay, they've said yes. They're crazy. They have no idea. They don't know me yet. But they're coming over to my house, and they're excited to talk about ways that the churches can work together to impact Orange. Wow! There's one, and I'm not going to tell you who the pastor is. There's one pastor who's kind of pulled back over the last couple of years. Well, out of nowhere yesterday, all of the rest of us got an email. I'm sorry, I haven't been part of things. I want to be part of it. And so I fired an email, and I said, well, by the way, I'm doing this lunch. I'll be there. We need to stay focused on what God is asking us to do. Amen to that? And we need to not worry about rejection. We need to not worry about where the George, you're going to hate me for this. We need not to worry about where the money's coming from. Yes, it matters, but God will provide. I hope you're ready. for some amazing times ahead. Because they're coming. They're coming. They're coming for this church and they're coming for you. As long as you have faith and are willing to risk it all for Him. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, wow. Yes, Lord, we are ready. Set before us clearly the path that you would have us walk. Lord, let us be the miracle that Orange is praying for. Let all of us develop deep, deep hearts for this community and for the needs here. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we can't wait to see what you have. It's in your name we pray. Amen.